Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll tee it up for the troops, and we're going to meet the man behind the Twin Cities Honor Flights. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
The Minnesota National Guard operates throughout our great state of Minnesota. One of our organizational priorities is to continually optimize the physical capabilities at each of these locations. I'm proud to say we're doing a great job. As part of the AmeriCorps program, we have a Minnesota Green Corps Energy Conservation member working with our National Guard. Our Green Corps member is educating our team about the state's buildings, benchmarks, and beyond database. The Minnesota National Guard is taking deliberate efforts to reduce energy consumption, manage our natural resources, and to minimize waste. These efforts are essential toward our ability to sustain our capabilities in the future and in remaining good stewards of our limited resources.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is the president of Tee It Up for the Troops, Tim Wakeshide. Tim, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. Pleased to be here. Thanks for having us.
And you brought a guest with you. Would you like to introduce him?
Yes, I'm joined by Scott Adams. Scott is an Army veteran and a close friend of our Teed Up for the Troops family. Scott was injured in the Iraq conflict and has battled his way back in a very positive manner and has been a very, very strong supporter of our organization and has used the great game of golf to help with his rehabilitation and reacclimation into civilian life.
Scott, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to get into your story in the second segment, but the first segment here, Tim, can you explain to our listeners that might not be familiar, there might be one or two people in Minnesota that haven't heard of Tee It Up for the Troops. What's your mission and what is Tee It Up for the Troops all about?
Sure, Tom. Tee It Up for the Troops is a Minnesota-based veterans nonprofit that was formed in 2005, and it's been our goal since the time that we formed to organize and coordinate golf events in various communities, not only here in Minnesota, but also across the country, with the ultimate goal of raising funds and helping support different veterans nonprofits. As you know, a lot of nonprofits are struggling with the fact that they want to spend as much time as possible delivering their service to our veterans and military families, but they get sidetracked a lot by the need to raise funds to support those services. So we try to fill that gap, raise funds, and allow them to spend more time on delivering those actual services to help our military families.
And Tim, we've had J.B. Ball on the show several times in the past. How's he doing?
J.B.'s doing great. J.B. Is the founder of our organization, and you know, when his son Tyler was deployed to Iraq, that was the impetus for the start of our organization, and he's doing great. He's a grandfather two times over now, And he'd tell you he's got a little more gray hair and a little wider midsection, but the man is incredibly passionate and incredibly helpful to our effort.
He's still involved, but you've got a great board of directors now, don't you?
We do, and it's an evolving group and one that continually gets stronger and provides a lot of excess effort to what we're trying to do as an organization.
So, Tim, how many events do you hold each year now?
Well, we've actually had a pretty strong growth lately, which is great to see that Americans are still willing to step up and commit incredible amounts of time because we do it all through volunteers, these various golf events. But 3 years ago, we had 19 events across the country. And at the end of this year, we'll look to exceed over 50 events. And so we've seen good, steady, consistent growth. But it keeps us very busy with 50 different events going on from L.A. to New York, from Florida to Alaska.
Frequent flyer miles, eh, Tim?
Well, we do travel occasionally, but really the key to our success is these folks within these local communities, whether it's Peoria, Illinois, or Los Angeles, that they get the majority of the hard work done with our guidance, with our help. And really, they're the ones that drive it locally as we help them kind of from our national headquarters here in the Twin Cities.
Now, Tim, I understand that you partner with local groups, and for each of these events, a portion of the funds stays right there in that community, and then another portion of the funds goes to Tee It Up for the Troops, and you support a lot of different issues across the nation.
That's correct, Tom. Every time we host one of these events, we've kind of set up this, it seemed a very effective national-local formula. And so whatever that event raises from that golf event, 50% of it we donate back out to some organizations that we've aligned with nationally. Great groups like Fisher House Foundation and Warfighter Sports, which is a division of Disabled Sports USA, and Hope for the Warriors, groups like that that are helping veterans all across the country. But then the other 50% we want to allocate right back into the community that's hosting the golf event, into that area. So in Minnesota, for example, we've donated to many great groups, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, Minnesota Military Families Foundation, MACV, just to name a few. There's been a lot of support that we've put into the state of Minnesota because this is the state that we have the largest number of events compared to any others across the country.
We're speaking with Tim Wakeside and Scott Adams on Minnesota Military Radio. Tim, I just want to talk about the Minnesota Military Family Foundation for a minute. When I met J.B. Ball many years ago, must have been 8 or 9 years ago, he wasn't aware of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation and the fact that we provided emergency grants to Minnesota military families, active duty, guard, reserve, all services. But after we met, things have kind of evolved, and Teed Up for the Troops has supported us. And I know that occasionally you get calls from Minnesota families that need some help, and you send them to the family assistance centers, and we take care of them with the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. Some of those things, I think, have evolved over the years so that there's certain spots where the MMFF takes care of Minnesota and other groups take care of other things. And by all working together, we do a lot better job of it, don't we?
Yes, I definitely think so. And when I started with Tee It Up for the Troops, JB, one of the first groups that he mentioned to me was Minnesota Military Family Foundation as a group that's really doing great things in the state of Minnesota. And we've continued that support and actually increased it over the last few years, and we hope to continue to do the same. But yes, there's groups that kind of provide emergency support on more of a national scale where they're kind of allocating, you know, funds across multiple states. But it's nice to have that local Minnesota flavor to what MMFF is doing and be able to help our veterans right here in our home state.
And we appreciate partnering with you and your support. It's been a great thing. Tim, I want to get your opinion. Over the years, I've been a member of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation board for about 8 years, and we've been on the air for almost 7 years on the radio. There's been tremendous support for our troops and their families. Do you see that diminishing in any way? Is it still strong?
You know, that was a concern going back 3 or 4 years ago with our board, that maybe with the wind down of activities in Iraq and Afghanistan, that there might be a diminishing level of interest from, companies, corporations, individuals to supporting our golf events and supporting veterans' causes in general. But we have not seen that at all. It's amazing the number of folks that are stepping up to help support our efforts. And we figured we had over 25,000 hours of volunteer support in 2016 alone to help us run these various events across the country. So we're seeing golf clubs, individuals, companies continuing to step up. And fortunately, we're not seeing any diminishing returns from those folks.
And Scott, you've been out there to some of these events. Would you agree with Tim? Is there still good, strong support for our troops and their families?
I do, and I was asked a question by JB a couple of years ago when that happened, and basically our answer was, until they all come home.
Which we don't know the answer to that question, so we better stick with it.
So we need to stick with it, and the American public needs to stand behind us.
And Tim, just got about 30 seconds left. If our listeners want to get involved with Tee It Up for the Troops, how can they help your organization?
Well, there's a lot of different ways they can get involved. Number one would be to help, you know, volunteer and help us at some of these events that we have going on in the state of Minnesota. They also can visit within their companies to see if they might be willing to step up and sponsor some of these golf events that we have. They also can obviously donate. And the best way to get involved with us in any way would be to go to our website, which is www.teeitupforthetroops.org. And we'll be happy to try to connect you with the right folks and put your talents to use.
TeeItUpForTheTroops.org. Gentlemen, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Scott Adams about his time in the military and a particularly bad day that he had one day. And he was in armor and with tanks, and he blew himself up. So we're going to find out how that all happened and what he's done since. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Well, Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Tim Wakeside, president of Teed Up for the Troops, and Scott Adams, who served 22 years in the Army. Was it the Army Reserve, Scott?
It was active duty Army, sir.
Active duty Army. I understand that you were deployed 6 different times.
Yes, sir.
Where'd you go?
I spent 3 tours in Iraq, 2 in Kuwait, and 1 in Afghanistan, sir.
And you were in armor?
I started out my career in armor in 1986 and ended my career in military police in 2007-08.
And on your last deployment, you had kind of a rough day. What happened?
Basically, the commander decided to do 2 missions in 1 and loaded up the vehicles heavy. We added support personnel in the vehicle, so everybody, all seats were taken, so the gunner had nowhere to sit down in case of emergency. We got outside the gate. We were maybe about 5 minutes away from the FOB, and my driver swore to miss a pothole. And doing so, he hit another pothole, and I was sitting behind the front passenger over the fuel tank. And when my tire I was sitting over hit that pothole he missed, there was 2 anti-tank mines in it laced with white phosphorus, and it blew up right underneath my seat. We went up in the air about 6 feet, came down. Everybody got out, but I couldn't move. I went straight up into the turret ring with a weapon rotates and fractured my C5 in my neck where it hit me and shattered both shoulders and broke my back. I sat there dazed. The vehicle's fully engulfed. I was sucking in all the fumes and the flame smoke. And the one thing I had remembered is a Fulbright colonel at Fort Dix, New Jersey, giving a class on more men and women are dying in vehicles because they can't undo the combat lock on the door so they can be rescued in the event that they're trapped like I was. My team did everything they were supposed to. They did security. They did accountability. Saw I was sitting in the back of the vehicle, fully engulfed, not moving. I was able to move that slide bar over from remembering that. And when they came over, they opened the door, and all the air that came in brought the flames. And I was saturated in diesel, and it lit me up like a candle. I fell out of the vehicle, and being in the shock I was, didn't notice any of the other injuries and started running and screaming. I realized then that I've been a volunteer firefighter where I've been stationed for 13 years. Stop, drop, and roll. We teach kids that every day. I tried it, but due to the fact that I was so saturated, every time I'd roll over, I would just light back up again. So I was on my knees. I took my left glove off. I took my helmet off. I took my vest off because I still had live rounds and grenades in the pouches. And I got to my right glove, and I took that off, and it was just coming off in little pieces. And I looked at my hands, and one was fully red, and one was normal. And noticed that there was no skin on my hand anymore, and I kind of freaked out and started running around again, screaming until they tackled me and put me out with the fire extinguisher. I was flown to Germany, had 2 emergency landings because I was suffocating myself and tearing out all my wounds. From spitting up all the soot that I was took in on the vehicle. So they had to resuscitate me twice because I kind of flatlined on them. And I was in surgery not even a day and a half after Brooke Army Medical Center in San Antonio.
So burns all over your body.
I'm over 90% third and fourth, or 50% third and fourth degree burn, 90% total body.
Scott, you're lucky to be alive. How long did it take you to recover?
I was at Brooke Army for a little over 18 months.
18 months.
Almost 2 years.
Well, you look like you're in pretty good shape now.
Well, round's a good shape. I like it.
Scott's a big man, and we're glad he recovered from that terrible day and that terrible accident, and we're glad you're here.
Thank you.
Scott, you've been involved with, how long have you been involved with Teed Up for the Troops?
8 years.
And what type of positions have you filled? What have you done there over 8 years?
Mostly I try to bring in new veterans for our events so that they can take advantage of what we do and utilizing golf as rehabilitation for our wounds that we have, whether it's physical or mental. I do a lot of coordination with the organization itself as far as volunteers coming in. I might run the golf program itself and work with the country club directly on the pro there and say, okay, this is what we want to do with the guidance of Tim and everybody in the office at our full-time staff. It just gives them an extra arm away from the office to be able to use me as a tool to bring everything together.
We're speaking with Tim Wakeside and Scott Adams from Teed Up for the Troops on Minnesota Military Radio. So, Scott, I assume you're enjoying yourself meeting all these veterans that come to these tournaments and all the sponsors that are out there helping raise money.
It's wonderful because you build your military family because you lose it so much along your way. When you're injured, you lose your active duty family. Then you're with a bunch of wounded guys you're healing with. Then when you go home, you lose them. So it helps you maintain and grow your family. And the sponsors that bring us together are simply amazing people.
Well, Scott, I understand that there's a program called a reunion program. Can you tell me what that's about?
Reunion is down in Orlando, Florida, Kissimmee area, and it's held at the Reunion Resort. We bring in the veterans and their spouse or caregiver if they're able to attend due to the amount of donations that come in. Or for myself, I raise money, and I take myself and my spouse now. But it's basically a development of getting veterans together that have not seen each other for some time.
So you reunite with your battle buddies?
To reunite with the people that you had that close bond to that you haven't been able to. You have that void in your life, and I still have mine because I'm still trying to get some guys together that haven't been there. And I've seen World War II guys that we've had there in the past couple of years, Vietnam veterans that haven't seen each other in over 30 years. And the impact that they show all of us as young veterans, that we consider ourselves young, and I'm not very young, I'm pushing 50, it's just truly amazing. I mean, the tears, that breaks you down, and you're talking a bunch of grown men and women. It's very impactful. If you can't just see it, you got to be there to experience it.
So how many days does that reunion program take?
Normally it's 5 days. You arrive on your first day, and the veterans get a practice round of golf for some free lessons on the range from the pros there that the course provides for us. And then you have a day of tournament with the sponsors or your reunion buddies, and then the second day you also have the same SAC format. It's so impactful because it's everybody who is there has been through something, and you're sharing it with the men and women who sponsored veterans to come, and when they listen to the stories as they're playing golf, it makes all parties relaxed, and everybody becomes so humble and thankful.
It's got to be great to get back together with your old buddies and talk over some of the things that happened and share those experiences again.
It's amazing because, I mean, we have the tools of Facebook and Internet and phone, but I'm not a believer in electronics and all that. I'm a believer in face-to-face. That's why I did my whole military career because, I mean, you get more out of it. You see that how impactful it is to people that way. And over the phone, it's just not the same.
Scott, we've got veterans listening to this show all over Minnesota. If they were interested in getting involved in this reunion program, how do they do that?
Basically, if they're interested in going, they want to be able to go to teeitupforthetroops.org. That's we're talking about golf now, so that's T-E-E, itupforthetroops.org. So that way we can get you to fill out the application. You'll find on the events area, the reunion. Fill out your application, and if you have the information for the people you want to attend with you, you want to put that in there, and the reason why. If you don't go, you're missing out, because to take advantage of something that is not only physical and emotional, but it's bringing and uniting different eras and generations of men and women who have served, and to learn about World War II, Korea, from firsthand people, Vietnam, the men and women that were left behind, it's very impactful.
Got to feel pretty good coming home from that.
It is, sir.
Tim, I want to come to you. How many veterans can go on this reunion event?
Each year, it's been growing a little bit each year, but in this year's program, we had about 75 veterans that participated. So, like I said, it's been growing a little bit each year. And just to add something to what Scott said, in addition to the golf, which is a great way for that camaraderie to be built, not only with those they're reuniting with, but also sponsors and others that are connected to the event. One of the real keys to this, or two keys really, is that we hold these breakout sessions among the veterans where they all get together and share their stories and let them know that they're not alone. And we bring in other nonprofit partners to share their services and things like that. The other piece I want to mention is the caregiver spot that Scott mentioned, because they fight a little different battle, and we want to honor them and support them as well.
And give them a little break, too, down in Florida.
Exactly.
Sounds like a great thing. So for all our listeners out there, if you want to get involved to help tee it up for the troops, raise money, or if you want to get involved and see if you are eligible to be to participate in the reunion program, go to teeitupforthetroops.org. That's T-E-E, it up for the troops. Right, Tim?
That is correct.
All right, gentlemen, I want to thank you both for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
That was Tim Wakeside, president of Teed Up for the Troops, and Scott Adams on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to meet the man behind Twin Cities Honor Flights. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to meet the man behind the Twin Cities Honor Flights. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Shelleteau.
The 2017 Women's Veterans Conference will be held in Plymouth, Minnesota on May 25th, 2017. All eras and branches of military women are welcome. To register, visit minnesotaveteran.org and click on the events icon on our homepage. There will be veterans resources and organizations on site, speakers, workshops, and more. The Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is honored to serve these women who have contributed so much to our nation. Join me in honoring and thanking our service women, past and present.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelleteau. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is the man behind the Twin Cities Honor Flights. His name is Jerry Kaiser. Jerry, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. It's a pleasure.
Jerry, I don't want to get you in trouble today, but I think we better point out that there's a man and a woman behind this honor flight. So it's you and your bride.
Yes, my beloved wife, Jana Kaiser, is a 100% asset for us.
And we were on the honor flight with you last year, took Sergeant Ben and some other people out there and did a whole show on it. So for our listeners, if you want to get some firsthand experience of what that's like, go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and just go up in the search device and put in Honor Flight. That's a great show with some wonderful interviews of some World War II veterans. That's a long day, Jerry.
It is, sir. And Tom, you did a great job, and we appreciate that.
We used to tell the listeners when it starts, it's about a 22-hour day, isn't it?
Correct. The veterans are up at 4 in the morning. They got to get ready. They have to be at the airport at 5 and get seated and get the proper credentials and everything to get through the TSA check. We vet them before they even get there, and all they need to do is show their ID, and they get on. They just go like the El Presidente of the United States. Nobody touches them.
It was just like flying in the old days. We got our ID, and we just got to walk right through.
That's right. And we get them seated in the aircraft, and we're airborne at 0600. It's a 2.5-hour flight, and we land at about 9:25 and get on the buses to the next event.
And you get home late that night. But, Jerry, we'll get into that schedule in a little bit. Now, you're a Vietnam veteran. You served two tours.
Yes, sir, I did. I volunteered twice. I was a helicopter mechanic, machine gunner, crew chief, and two different divisions that I was in. Yes, it was interesting and not always pleasant.
And when you came home, you finally did get to flight school. You are a pilot, right?
Yes, I am. I'm a aerobatic pilot, and I fly also for the Commemorative Air Force. I'm a warbird pilot, and it's a lot of fun. Even relating to these World War II veterans that I've got to take with on me on this flight.
And in addition to doing all of this and the honor flights, you're over at the state capitol, over at the legislature, a lot.
Well, sir, it's an opportunity for us to make Minnesota more veteran-friendly and veteran-business-friendly, and it's our passion. There's a number of us that have been doing this, at least I have, and another friend of mine, since 2001.
So, Jerry, tell me, how did you and your wife get involved in the honor flights?
One of the directors who is from St. Paul, was talking to someone, and they thought that I'd be a good candidate for this. Well, I listened to them and talked to me in January of that year. And my father, God bless him, was a retired Army colonel and World War II and Korea veteran, and he passed away 40-plus years ago at age 51, and I wanted to honor him. And my mother, who has also passed away, she was a Red Cross worker. So it is an opportunity. I was thrilled to be involved with it. Our Minnesota Vietnam Veterans Charity, which is a parent company at that time, we took it on and did the first one in the fall of 2008.
We're speaking with Jerry Kaiser from Twin Cities Honor Flight on Minnesota Military Radio. Jerry, on these flights, the veterans fly free, correct?
Absolutely.
and their guardians pay a nominal amount to be on the flight.
Well, they help to contribute to the flight with a $500 contribution. They are expensive. The airplanes right now cost about $55,000, and all the other things add up to about $87,000. So they help us with that, and it's very appreciative that they do that. As a matter of fact, we have 300-plus on the waiting list to be guardians, so we don't have a problem with wanting getting more people.
So this whole honor flight, you have to pay for the airfare. You have some goodie bags at the airport in the morning. They have a box lunch that we ate at one of the memorials out in Washington, D.C. Before you come home, we went and had a nice dinner. And they get caps, and they get all kinds of surprises from their guardians, and we'll talk about that in a bit. But did you realize when you first got involved that you'd have to become a professional fundraiser?
Well, Lord, I never thought that it would be like it is. People ask me all the time, well, who does your fundraising? It is such a noble cause. It is such a wonderful thing for these families and the veterans themselves. They cannot believe that anybody cares about them at this particular age, especially the World War II fellows and gals. I just really say honestly that the good Lord Jesus does our fundraising, and we, quite frankly, just cash the checks. And we have, out of $1.3 million, I've had less than $100 that got bounced for some reason or another. So we're pretty satisfied.
And you're making it sound simple, you and the Lord raising the money, but I know you're out there working it hard too, Jerry.
Well, we're just some folks from Minnesota want to be able to honor these men and women who kept America free for us, and it's our job to honor them and thank them for what they did 70-plus years ago.
I want to talk a little bit about the World War II veterans. We had a lot of them on the flight last year when we went out there, and you just had a handful of Korean veterans, but these men and women that were on that flight were late 80s, early 90s. They were revved up. They were fired up. And a lot of them were walking early in the day. Towards the end of the day, a lot of them made use of the wheelchairs. But they're still wide awake all the way home.
We take them out of their world of watching television, drinking coffee, and surviving. And we put them into a situation where they are rock stars for the day in Washington, D.C. They are totally prepared for us there. When they get off the airplane, there's people there. We had singing groups and a band there this last fall. And
in Washington, D.C.
In Washington, D.C.
And then there's a big surprise for them. They think the trip's over when they land in Minneapolis.
Ah, yes.
And then you bring them around the corner, and what do they see?
Well, we have military officers and cadets and people and banners and a pipe band, and it's a total celebration. They are blown away. The grins on their faces just can't be wiped off. And so many times the people tell us afterwards, you know, my husband or my wife went on that, and they came back, and they can't keep them quiet about what they saw and happened to them that day.
And when we came back that night and turned the corner, there were a lot of Minnesota Patriot Guard there.
Oh, yes.
Brigadier General Sandy Best was there. Brigadier General Hamler was there.
Yes, sir.
And there was there was hundreds of people to greet him.
Oh, yeah. My wife handles that part of the program, and she said there was over 400 there for that one.
And they almost break down. A lot of them did break down crying. Who cared about us anymore? We're World War II veterans, but a lot of people cared about them.
Our job is to make them cry, and we do a darn good job of it.
Now, Jerry, your next flight is Saturday, May 6th. It's coming up real quick.
Yes, sir.
And I want to jump to the end of this first, because if you want to be there to welcome home our World War II veterans, they have to be out at the Hubert Humphrey Terminal Number 2 at 9:45 p.m.
Yes, sir. That would be the best time, and they could just park in the purple lot, in the short-term lot, and come right across that skyway right to that particular baggage A area. And my wife, Jana, was running the show there. She will get them properly placed, and there'll be stanchions there to keep them out of the way. But it'll be a wonderful day.
Now, Jerry, where can our listeners go to learn more about Twin Cities Honor Flight and to register their World War II or Korean veterans to be on a flight?
Well, they need to go to our website. It's honorflighttwincities.org, honorflighttwincities.org. On that website, there are videos and YouTube information about what happened that day. You also can download an application for both guardians and the veterans. Now, we're just taking World War II and Korea veterans, and we have, as a matter of fact, right now, we're not taking any more guardian applications because We have 300 and plus on the waiting list for that. But you're welcome to get on for 2018.
And when they go out there that day, I'm just looking at the itinerary, they're going to see the Iwo Jima Memorial, the Air Force Memorial, Arlington Cemetery. They're going to go to the Korean Memorial. They're going to see the World War II Memorial, of course. And then they're going to see the Lincoln and Vietnam Memorials. Changing of the Guard at Arlington was a great event. And then stop for dinner on the way home and fly back home. It's a full day. But it's really a gratifying day for those World War II vets.
You forgot about the singing on the way back.
Well, I heard you sing, Jerry, and I didn't want to scare our listeners.
I hire somebody to do that.
Jerry, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little more with Jerry Kaiser about the Honor Flight Twin Cities and learn about an award that he won last year. So this is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been talking to Jerry Kaiser about Honor Flight's Twin Cities. And, of course, it was Jerry and your bride that's been instrumental in all these Honor Flights. And, Jerry, how many people have you taken?
1,450 World War II veterans and about, I think it's 70 Korea-era veterans.
And a lot of Guardians?
Yes, 1,500 Guardians.
So you're up around 2,800 or 2,900 people have been out to Washington, D.C. and back in a long day.
Yes, sir.
Now, Jerry, I understand that last year that you were the recipient of the Ellis Island Medal of Honor Award, and deservingly so. You've been working for veterans issues for as long as I've known you and a lot longer than that. What's that award all about and who gets it?
Ellis Island is awarded to... For people who have immigrant status, I mean, my immigrants came here 200-plus years ago. I'm a German descent and Scottish descent who are patriotic and have done things in their communities to facilitate diversity and good works to try to help those in lesser needs to get what they need. But by the grace of God, I was able to do that with the help of my wife. We worked together in our different vendors. And I was nominated last year, and unbeknownst to me that I didn't even know it existed, I received that and went to Ellis Island, which is 8 presidents of the United States and celebrities and ambassadors and generals have received this award, and it was just over the top, outside of my comfort zone. But these gentlemen and ladies are just regular folks that daily has done some of the same things that we're all trying to do in this country.
And you and your wife earned it, and you received it. And since then, I understand that you nominated someone else.
Yes, they asked us to bring up, because we are recipients and we know what it means, they asked us to come up with people who are equal or better. And I, in my mind, I nominated... Major General Larry Shelato. He's a Renaissance man. He was a warrior during the Vietnam era and stayed in the military, was a two-star general running the 34th Infantry. He was also an educator. He ran Alexandria Technical College and was a doctorate. And then after he got out, he took care of his soldiers and sailors and all those who were in the military when he became the Commissioner of Veteran Affairs. So he was a warrior, an educator, and then also a civil servant. As a follow of qualifications, if I got it for giving away a lot of other people's money and doing things for them, he should get 2 of them for all the things that he's done in the state of Minnesota for veterans and the veteran families.
And, of course, he was the adjutant general for 7 years, and as you said, for the last, must be about 5 or 6 years now, he's been the commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and he'll receive that award on Saturday, May 13th on Ellis Island. And good work, Jerry. That gentleman is deserving of that award.
Well, it was an honor for me to be able to nominate him, and then he'll be able to showcase Minnesota to other ones, as I tried to do when I was there, of all the good things. We're not the only ones who are recipients. Governor Pawlenty was a recipient of it, the commander of Stanley Hubbard, and I believe the Cargill Foundation, McMillan, are also recipients.
Jerry, we just got a few seconds left. Honor Flight Twin Cities, where can our listeners find more information?
HonorFlightTwinCities.org, Or you can call me at 651-481-8835. That's 651-481-8835.
So if you've got some World War II or Korean veterans that want to go on the Honor Flight, just go to honorflighttwincities.org, and Jerry and his wife and all his volunteers will take darn good care of you.
Yes, sir.
Jerry, thanks for joining us again today.
Thank you, Tom.
That was Jerry Kaiser from Twin Cities Honor Flights on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard is Tim Leonhardt. Tim, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
Tim, it's almost the end of April here, and how's 2017 treating our riders?
Real good. We're just starting to get out on the bikes, but other than that, we've had a pretty full agenda, even for the first part of the year.
So you made it through the winter, the cage time, when you couldn't ride your bike.
We did.
All right. And also now it's getting nice weather, so I'm sure you've already been out.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Got to make sure that runs, and I'm sure a lot of your buddies have, too. Tim, I want to just quickly talk about who's eligible to be a Patriot Guard rider. A lot of folks still seem to think it's just us a bunch of old Vietnam veterans that like to ride motorcycles, and you know I don't ride one. I stay in a cage, but who's eligible?
Well, actually, there's quite a few of the Vietnam veterans that are part of the Patriot Guard, but you don't have to be a veteran. You don't have to ride a motorcycle. You just need to have a heart and a 3x5 flag and come to a mission, and we'll tell you what to do.
And all they have to do to sign up is go to your website?
Yes. Yep. You can sign up on the website right away, or you can look at our calendar and see what's going on and show up at wherever that mission is and tell them you're new, and they'll walk you through it, and you can make your decision from that.
There'll be someone there that's referred to as a ride captain.
A ride captain.
And they'll explain everything you need to know.
Yep.
All right. Can you give us your website again?
Is mnpatriotguard.org.
All right, Tim, we've talked over and over about you go to funerals, you go to deployments for our military when they're deployed. You go to those cemetery or those ceremonies, and you welcome them home when they come back.
Yep.
But we had a gentleman on the show earlier today, Jerry Kaiser from Honor Flights Twin Cities, and you play a part there too.
We do. In fact, Jerry's been a very wonderful person. He's invited us to welcome home the World War II attendees that are going to Washington, D.C., and it's an awesome thing to do. We meet them at the airport, and we welcome them home just like they're coming home for more.
We treat them just like heroes.
Oh, you should see those men and women. You know, they just light up when they see that flag line waiting for them, and we're there to welcome them home, and they get clapped, and you know, everybody's all excited about just seeing them.
Who gets more out of that, the World War II veteran or the Minnesota Patriot Guard riders?
I think they do. We really have a lot of fun with it. You know, we line up, and they come by, and we cheer them, and yeah, I guess more. It's a lot. A lot of it is for us too.
Feels good, doesn't it?
Oh yes,
Tim. Mm-hmm. I know that you also do some veterans home visits.
We do. You know, we run some bingos at the vets homes all over the state. You know, so if you have some time and you want to go listen to some really neat stories with these veterans at the veterans homes, this is the place to do it. It's amazing some of the stories they tell you.
I'm sure if you take the time to listen, they have things to say, don't they?
Oh, they do.
So if you sign up to be a Patriot Guard rider once or twice a week, you'll get an email.
Yep.
And it talks about the missions, which you call all the opportunities to go out and participate. And you pick the ones you want and you go. You're never really sure how many will show up, but they show up every time, don't they?
They show up every time. Never been disappointed.
Now, Tim, I understand there's another mission that we haven't talked about, and you referred to it as a dignified transfer. What's that?
Actually, that's what it is. Minneapolis is kind of a hub for deployments, or I shouldn't say deployments, where remains will come in, and then they go from here to whatever, Wisconsin or upper Minnesota or lower Minnesota. And then what we do is we do a flag line as they bring the remains out of the airport. And a lot of time the family is there, and so we're just kind of welcoming them home.
And it's all about three words, isn't it?
Honor, dignity, and respect.
And you and the writers all over the state are doing a great job at it. Keep up the good work, Tim.
Thank you. It's an honor to do.
That was Tim Leonhardt from the Flaglight of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Tim Wakescheid, Scott Adams, Jerry Kaiser, Tim Leonhardt, Commissioner Larry Shelleteau, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we meet the people behind Camp Gratitude, and we'll hear about the VA's outreach efforts for our most troubled vets. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.